Badger Badge. Night gathers, and now our podcast begins. It shall not end until we're done talking. We are
the princes that were promised.
Welcome to the princes that were promised. It's me, it's Shawnee Wan, and joining me, it's John, in the middle of Rickard Stark's Southron ambitions and the tentative alliance that he is trying to piece together. Where we left off last week was talking about, not in great detail, but talking about the tourney at Harrenhal in the year of the False Spring. And the conspiracy theory behind the tourney at Harrenhal is based on House Wendt and their wealth. How the extravagance of the tourney was more than House Wendt's wealth could afford. Major theory has been that Rhaegar Targaryen fronted him the capital that he would need to throw this tournament. And he did that so the High Lords of the Realm and Rhaegar could talk about removing Aerys from the Iron Throne, because Aerys was too cruel, too paranoid, and a detriment to the realm. Do you see any holes in that theory, or do you think that pretty much fits with...
That fits. Aerys has definitely made it easy for that assumption to be made.
Yeah. My only thing against it is the High Lords that attend, Jon Arryn, Lord Robert Baratheon, Jon Connington, Jonathor Dary, Arthur Dayne, Ashara Dayne, Gerald Hightower, Ian Hunter, Jaime Lannister, Richard Lonmouth, Ilya Martell, Lewin Martell, Oberyn Martell, Howland Reed, Jon Royce, Barristan Selmy, Benjen Stark, Walter Wendt, Oswald Wendt, Mace Tyrell, Rhaegar Targaryen, Aerys Targaryen, Lyanna Stark, Eddard Stark, Brandon Stark. If you look at those names, which of these lords are really that concerned with Aerys to the point where they'd agree to this tournament as a front to talk about getting rid of him? If Jon Arryn hates King Aerys, he's all the way up in the Vale. Aerys isn't going to do anything to Jon Arryn. He's not going to really disrupt Jon Arryn's day-to-day. The same thing with Rickard Stark in the North. No matter how much they don't like Aerys, I'm talking about like the High Lords, the Wardens, I don't see any reason why they need to remove him. And that being said, it is possible that Rhaegar wanted to get everyone together to see if they would support him becoming king. Aerys.
Right. That's possible. And I think they probably would say, yeah.
Sure. That'd be great. But Rhaegar, I feel like his focus was not so much on being the king as it was on saving the realm from the Long Night. Rhaegar believes in the prince that was promised. He believes he's the prince that was promised.
Nothing said directly that he knows, but we're just putting, just connecting the dots that the prince that was promised will be heavily in this fight for the Dawn.
Right.
Which at that point, if he brings that up, they'll be ousting him as the prince, you know?
Yeah.
Get Viserys and he's the prince here.
Oh, you're out.
Because no one's going to believe him at that point.
And I'm sure he knows that. So maybe he did do this because he can't say, listen, you know, we have this battle for the Dawn coming up. But if he's the king, then he can
gather people around him.
Yeah, he can call the banners and march north to the wall if necessary because he's the king. He can do that. Aerys isn't going to do that. Aerys isn't even a believer necessarily in the prince that was promised. Aerys' father believed in it, but that resulted in Aerys having to marry his sister who he disliked. So why would he buy into those prophecies if it's cost him such an unhappy marriage? Aerys attending was a surprise to everyone. For some reason, it seems more likely to me that Rhaegar did not back this. Maybe Rhaegar looked at it as an opportunity. All the Lords of the Realm would be there. But the amount of money, I feel like Aerys is so paranoid he would know that money is missing from the royal vault if that was what paid for this tournament. So maybe it had another backer.
But then who's the other backer?
I had one.
I'm still thinking.
One I did before. I have two now.
For some reason, I still think it's Rhaegar. But let me hear it.
Lord Varys. He has the money. When he arrived in King's Landing, that was when Aerys got really paranoid. Nothing would feed into his paranoia like him visiting this tournament that he wasn't originally going to go to. We know that Varys has the motivation. Well, we assume that Varys has the motivation. If Fagon is a Blackfyre, if Varys is a Blackfyre, a couple things have to fit into place. But if they do, it does make sense that Varys and Lyril Mopatis back this tourney to begin the fall of House Targaryen, to pit father against son, or son against father.
As it turns out, it kind of does, because Rhaegar's there, and everyone's applauding him, and he seems like the people love Rhaegar more than Ares, but how would Varys know unless he's just taking a chance?
He has a unique knack of knowing what's going on, how people are feeling. If he knows that Ares is losing his mind and he's feeding into that, and he knows that the people of Rhaegar, if he points that out to Ares, maybe Ares kills his son and Viserys is just a boy then. Rhaegar makes it difficult for Varys to instigate things, to manipulate what's going on. A guy like Rhaegar. It's easy for him to manipulate Ares. Would probably be easy for him to manipulate Viserys because Viserys is just a little boy.
Just want to bring up real quick, a lot of people didn't realize that at this point in time, 281, Rhaegar is around 22 years old, and Viserys is only, he's like 4 or 5.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
He's very young. There's a big age difference between Rhaegar and Viserys.
Right.
A big age difference. They're not like Brandon and Ned in age-wise.
Think about it from those terms. A 5-year-old boy would be pretty easy to manipulate, especially if his father and his older brother aren't around. So Varys would be my first choice. Varys, Illyrio, Mopatis, and what's left of the Blackfyre regime.
I'm just trying to think what your second choice is going to be. I got a feeling, but let's see.
Tywin.
No. Why would...
He's got the money.
All right, but why would he...
He hates Ares. He then called that for the Lords to meet about removing Ares. That does seem kind of... I don't want to say it's beneath Tywin, but...
The only problem with that... I'm going to say the major problem with that... would be that if you remove Ares, then Rhaegar's king, and Rhaegar's a lot more light than Ares. Unless Tywin felt that he could have a better relationship with Rhaegar, and Rhaegar wouldn't be crazy like his father, or like have like this jealous rage against him. I don't believe it. I wouldn't think it's Tywin. I mean, I can see maybe this Tywin feel that maybe he can talk to Rhaegar to take away Jaime from the Kingsguard or something where Ares wouldn't.
That's the other part. Jaime's under Ares' control as a member of the Kingsguard.
Yeah, he talked to Rhaegar. You know, Rhaegar. You know, Jaime looked up to him. Like, listen, just do this, Sally.
This factor.
Listen, I will win every war for you. Just let me have my son.
I'll pay for this tournament. You use that to speak with the High Lords. I'm not going to be there, so it doesn't look like I'm involved. But you have my support. But then, why wouldn't he assist Rhaegar during Robert's Rebellion? Well, because he has a better opportunity then if House Targaryen falls altogether. Because then he has the opportunity to. To really rule the realm.
Which basically does.
Which he does.
Just takes time. Part.
Varys and Illyrio Mopatis is more likely. Perhaps it's Tywin. But I don't think we'll know.
I still think it's going to be Rhaegar.
It just doesn't seem like something that Rhaegar would do. I don't feel like he would betray his father. Unless he was calling them together not to remove his father. But to put their minds at ease about his father. And what kind of ruler he would be when he does become king. After his father is gone. But either way, if the tourney at Harrenhal is a cover for the realm to meet about Aerys Targaryen and removing him from the Iron Throne, it does accomplish that in a different way because the events of the tourney at Harrenhal
lead directly to
the War of the Usurper. Theory, this is where Rhaegar and Lyanna, it's really one of the only times that they...
It's the first time that they meet.
It's really the only time that they could have possibly... And it's, what, like one night that it's unaccounted for? We don't know what they spoke about? But there's no other point in time where their paths could have crossed. Mm-hmm. The end at the crossroads, but that's probably where Rhaegar
takes her.
You don't think he takes her. I don't think he takes her.
Well, he takes her.
That's where they meet and they run off. So that had to have been decided on during this time period at the Tourney of Harrenhal, during that one night that is unaccounted for. Rhaegar comes back and says, just found the shield, the Laughing Tree, and I don't know what happened to the knight. But it had to be planned there, and then the result of Rhaegar and Lyanna running off is what leads to Robert's Rebellion. What are your thoughts on Aerys and the Knight of the Laughing Tree? There's some theories that say that Aerys knew that this was Lyanna.
That's what I believe in.
Okay.
I think Rhaegar Westeros first started that, I believe it. And that's why Rhaegar goes up to the end of the crossroads, because that's where she's at.
Mm-hmm.
And that Aerys sends his men to get her, and what is he going to do with her? He's going to kill her. He's going to execute her. So Rhaegar is actually coming out there actually to protect her with two Kingsguard members get to her.
Well, which two Kingsguard members?
Arthur Dayne and Oswald Went.
Okay.
To get to her before...
But why was she going to the inn at the crossroads?
She's in the area. Well, that...
They were coming down for...
She's coming down for Brandon's wedding.
That's not a bad timeline. Yeah, it has to work. Why would they go to the inn at the crossroads when Riverrun's...
There are 14 leagues from...
Well, 14 leagues would make sense. That'd be far enough where...
It'd be 30 miles. It's like 30 miles, right? 14 times 3.
No, I think a league is more like 6 or 7 miles.
We did this before.
It works out where the inn at the crossroads is close enough to Riverrun. I mean, they could have communicated with each other via Raven, right?
Yeah, how is she getting the Raven if she's in the North? Wouldn't that Raven get connected off by the Maester? And then unless, of course, the Maester conspiracy, we're pretending we don't get, you know, Ravens. Because right. Suppose there's theories that Lyanna, after being with Rhaegar, did try to write to Rickard. But Wally's, so those Ravens, like, don't worry, I'm in good hands, don't worry.
Yeah, we want this war.
We want this war to happen. This is perfect. Thank you, Lyanna.
Subscribe to The Princes That Were Promised via iTunes, Stitcher, or the Google Play Store.
Send us a Raven on Twitter at Princes Promised.
Bend the Knee at facebook.com/thepromisedprinces.
Read theprincesthatwerepromised.wordpress.com.
The Promised Princes. actionpackedpodcasts.com.
Thank you for listening.
All right, we're back. The Princes That Were Promised, Wardens of Long Island. Going from the Tourney of Harrenhal to the beginning of Robert's Rebellion, the War of the Usurper. And by the time of the tourney at Harrenhal, Brandon was betrothed to Catelyn. Lyanna was betrothed to Robert. Ned was being fostered. What Barbary Dustin calls Rickard Stark's southern ambitions were already
in place.
Yeah, they're already in full swing. Forming alliance with these great houses, it does look like a threat if you're Aerys Targaryen. This is your warden of the north and your warden of the east in alliance with foster children.
And the warden of the west, who knows what he's doing?
Yeah, you don't know what your warden west is doing, and your warden in the south is kind of an idiot. So it is something that Aerys should be worried about, and I'm sure Lord Varys is pointing this out to him. The thing that happens at the tournament at Harrenhal that really starts off a chain reaction that leads to the War of the Usurper is Rhaegar crowning Lyanna Queen of Love and Beauty after he wins the tourney. It's said that Brandon Stark has to be held back from confronting Rhaegar, and Robert laughs it off. And they're cousins, Rhaegar and Robert, although their relationship is never the same, and it leads to Robert's rebellion. At that point in time, he just laughs it off and says Rhaegar is only paying Lyanna her due. But inside, it eats him away. He's jealous. Doesn't seem very Robert-like.
Well, I'm going to bring up, because Robert probably knows. I'm sure Ned's probably told him, like, listen, you know, Lyanna, she's trying, I'm trying, yeah. But she's not too crazy. And she's probably, and he probably already noticed Lyanna blushing at Rhaegar a little bit too, so like.
When she's kidnapped, or it seems like she's kidnapped, it's easy for him to be righteous, you know, and think he's fighting the good fight.
Yeah, but at the same time, he's finding a good fight, but he's telling Ned years later about all like the whoring stories he had on the road. I'm like,
while he's fighting that good fight.
Yeah.
Fighting for the woman you love.
But you're banging, you're still banging all these other broads. But you think if there's any time for him to like go like straight at, that is the time. The cause. And that would piss me off. I was like a soldier, like, listen, we're fighting for the base. This Star could are fighting for this man's girlfriend. This guy's out there in the tent right now with like three, you know.
Yeah, three, four women.
Knocking off three girls in a row.
Yeah. Really the best timeline we have from the Tourney of Harrenhal to Robert's Rebellion may be through Brandon. Tourney of Harrenhal takes place at 281. In 282, Brandon is at River Run. And this is when the date for his wedding to Catelyn Tully is planned. And announced is while Brandon's at River Run. And when it's announced, Peter Baelish, a ward to Catelyn's father, to Lord Hoster Tully, he challenged Brandon to a duel for Catelyn's hand. And it's a pretty one-sided fight.
Yeah.
Brandon doesn't kill Peter because Catelyn begs him not to. And how much trouble would that have saved?
Thank you, Catelyn.
Right?
Thrust for a meddling.
Either if Brandon had yielded Catelyn to Littlefinger or if he had killed Littlefinger. How much trouble would that have saved? But after he defeats Peter, he leaves River Run and he promises Catelyn that he'll return soon so they can wed. He leaves River Run to go and join his father's wedding party coming down from the north. So when they announced the wedding, Rickard Stark and his retinue started heading south. Brandon's going to meet them. Where would be a good place to meet them? The twins? I mean, they could
cross at Lynn.
Yeah, maybe Mol Cailin. That's a bit far, though.
Yeah.
I think it'd be more local to the Riverlands. So I'd say the Twins or Lord Harroway's town to the east. There's a crossing. Or maybe it's Old Stones or somewhere closer. Wherever it is that he meets his father, as they're returning to River Run, they get word that Lyanna's been abducted by Rhaegar. We think the inn at the crossroads is where she meets him and they take off. but they receive word that he's abducted. Now, this timeline does support your theory because he pretty much just got done beating Peter Baelish to death. Now, is Peter Baelish injured to the point where he can't manipulate situations? Or is he not, and he's angry enough and jealous enough to start manipulating?
I saw someone's video. I'm trying to recall what it was saying, but it places Peter Baelish in a perfect spot in that area that if he were to say something or get something started, it would be near close enough to where Brandon would get it. That was the large sum of it. But like Baelish was, you know, in the area close enough where if he said something, he could get close.
He definitely, because we know that he stayed at River Run until his wounds were healed enough so that he could leave. But then Hasutoli, Catelyn's father, exiled him. And he would have to go back to
The Fingers.
Then get involved with Lysa and Jon Arryn and eventually reach King's Landing. But your idea that he started the rumor that Rhaegar abducted Lyanna, there's some credence to that, especially considering that Brandon just beat him within an inch of his life with a woman he loved.
And which podcast was it that we really were talking about this? Because I want to, because it's starting to come popular now.
It's a while ago, bro. It's a while ago. It's before we started doing the rewatch.
It was before the summer. But let me just say that I was one of the first to say this. No doubt. I got a lot of heat for it, but I said out from the get go that Littlefinger was the one that started this rumor. And a lot of people, he wasn't anyone important. You don't have to be important to start a rumor. I can start a rumor right now that your neighbor across street can hear, and then all of a sudden it goes to the mayor of Medford.
It's a good enough rumor.
Yeah.
And if you think about that, and then you go and when Peter's talking about rumors in regards to Stannis and Stannis's letter, and then they say, well, let's put it out there that Stannis was cuckolded by, what's Stannis's fool's name?
Patchface,
yeah. So Patchface is the father of Shireen. We'll put that rumor out there. The way he talks about rumors and putting them out there, it's like he's a master at it already.
And the biggest hint that we get definitely from the show, part where he has Catelyn in his brothel and he tells Ned he has Catelyn's here and Ned doesn't believe him. And all of a sudden, Ned grabs him by the neck, you know, you're a funny man. And then after that, Baelish says, that's Stark temper. That is their death. Just basically saying exactly the same thing that Brandon did. He went off on his temper against council and led to his death.
All right, so Peter was given a fortnight to recover at River Run, during which time Lysa helped care for him. Catelyn did not go to see him, and Peter refused to see Edmure, who had served as Brandon's squire during the duel. During this fortnight, Peter slept with Lysa again.
It's just supposed that Ray Maya knocked Lysa up. Also, tell he had to get her moon tea.
Yeah. Because
he didn't want the...
That fits. That totally fits. When the fortnight had passed, Peter was strong enough. Lord Hoster sent Peter away from River Run. Catelyn did not say goodbye to him. However, Lysa had become pregnant with Peter's child as a result. After Peter had been sent away, Lysa revealed her pregnancy to her father, hoping he would relent and allow Lysa and Peter to marry. Instead, he believed Peter to be too low-born, and he forced Lysa to drink moon tea to abort the pregnancy. All right, so a fortnight, 2 weeks. So the timeline is this. Basically, Brandon's at River Run. They announce the date for the wedding, at which point Rickard Stark will start moving north.
South.
You know, Robert's caravan from King's Landing, and they don't have to travel as far.
And where the hell is Rickard's wife?
I think she's dead by then, right?
Is she dead? How does she die?
We don't know anything about her. We know nothing about her.
This is so ridiculous. I mean, she's obviously not a major character, but you would just think her death would be known, like how she died.
Like somebody would talk about her.
Yeah, nothing.
We would know if she died in childbirth with Benjen.
Right, it would be mentioned. Yeah. But it's not mentioned. It's like a complete afterthought. This major house, we don't know how one of like.
All right, so the wedding's announced, and then Peter challenges Brandon. That may not be the same day, but it's got to be over the course of
a day or.
Yeah. Basically, what I'm getting at is within that fortnight from when Peter is recovering, Brandon travels to meet his father. His father's already traveling from Winterfell, and they get word about Lyanna being abducted as they're on their way to River Run. If Peter sent a raven from River Run, the Maester would know about it.
Yeah.
And probably read it and give it to Hoster. I mean, I would think Maesters are reading all these messages. Even if they're not, if Peter's been exiled, allowed to heal, and then he's exiled.
I don't think River Run. Yeah. It's not believable. Because it's Hoster, but hold on, but isn't it?
But he had, Lysa would help him.
Was it Hoster Tully who told Brandon to calm down and don't act? So obviously, was it Hoster Tully?
No, because Brandon, he goes racing off. He doesn't even, I don't think he even comes back to River Run.
someone tells him to calm down.
Well, Haas Tully talks about how he was a hothead.
Again, just think when we think Brandon Stark, just think Sonny Corleone. He was warned, Sonny Corleone was warned not to go because he's too dangerous. Sonny Corleone goes anyways.
It says they rode to King's Landing immediately, so he didn't get back to River Run.
But someone tells him to don't go to King's Landing. You know, you don't know the full story.
Is it possible that Hoster Tully also went out to meet? It should be noted that Lysa was being shot to Tywin, to Jaime Lannister. So maybe Tywin was a little bit more involved. Or maybe that was the olive branch to get him involved in this realm riot, in this realm-wide alliance. And then Tywin suggests his younger son, Tyrion, instead of Jaime. And now, Lysa's like, nah.
This is wrong. I'm reading something here from... that's wrong. He died in 282, right?
Brandon?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The same 281 here. This is wrong. I'm not going to bother reading this.
I don't think that Hoster Tully saw.
There's someone that wants him not to go down south. I know it.
I know that Hoster Tully tells Catelyn how hot-headed Rickard was, but he wasn't able to warn him not to go. There is a big enough time frame for Peter, along with the aid of Lysa, to put out word that Rhaegar abducted Lyanna. Peter's a smart enough guy to know that a rumor like that is going to be believed by everyone that hears it, because it's such an unlikely match. And Lyanna's already betrothed to Robert Baratheon, and Rhaegar's already married to Elia. It's something that people are going to hear and want to believe, because it's scandalous, you know? And he knows that if Brandon hears something like that, Brandon is so hot-headed, he's going to do something stupid. Directly, who suffers the most hearing that Rhaegar abducted Lyanna is Brandon. Now, I doubt Littlefinger would start this rumor thinking that it would lead to the fall of the Targaryens.
But it definitely would lead to a war.
I don't even know if he thought it might lead to a war. I was thinking he was just trying to hurt Brandon and hopefully Brandon be killed for his actions, which he is, causing chaos. Chaos is a ladder, and he's able to climb it.
Maybe I'm wrong, but I could have sworn that someone told him not to go down.
Yeah, I feel like that was the case too. Well, regardless, looking at the major players in Robert's Rebellion, Robert, Ned, Rhaegar, Jon Arryn, Hoster Tully, we'll say Tywin Lannister, and then also including Brandon and Rickard, including Aerys Targaryen, where were they all as Rhaegar supposedly abducted Lyanna Stark? So we know that Brandon went to meet his father Rickard to return to Riverrun, and he goes racing off to King's Landing when he hears this news. Rickard has to go to Riverrun. That makes the most sense. He would finish the journey to Riverrun. He's not going to go racing off to King's Landing.
Right, because he sent a letter to Rickard to answer Peter his son's crimes.
When this happens, Robert and Ned are either in the Eyrie or on their way to the Eyrie. And this part it doesn't sit too well with me, just because of their age and because of Robert being the Lord of Storm's End. If he's the Lord of Storm's End, where does Aerys get off writing to Jon Arryn and demanding Robert's head?
He knows that Robert now is the next to attack him. He's trying to cut the snake's head off before the snake comes down to King's Landing.
Right. So he's seeing if Jon Arryn's going to be loyal to him, and Jon Arryn is not loyal to him. Robert, Ned, and Jon, they're all in the Eyrie as Rhaegar, quote-unquote, kidnaps Lyanna. Hoster Tully's in Riverrun. Rickard Stark is on the road, but he must finish his journey to Riverrun. Tywin is at Casterly Rock. Now, who's the hand to the king?
Something burned because of...
Yeah, it's somebody that didn't make it out. Have a successful career as hand to the king. He didn't get the retirement package. Arya's hand at the start of the rebellion was Owen Meriwether. We'll have certain commanders. We'll have your John Connington's. We'll have your...
Right. Una Martell and all the commanders of Kingsguard.
Right. All these guys will play their part, but as far as the movers and shakers of Robert's Rebellion, you have the Mad King, Aerys Targaryen, Rhaegar Targaryen, Robert Baratheon, Eddard Stark, Hoster Tully, Jon Arryn, Tywin Lannister. These are the guys that play a huge part in the War of the Usurper and the change that comes to Westeros. And as Rhaegar kidnaps Lyanna, most of them are in one spot. Like Robert, Ned, Jon Arryn, they're all in the Eyrie. Rickard Stark, Hoster Tully, they're at Riverrun. Brandon Stark, when he finds out about this, he goes racing to King's Landing. Now, what the fuck do you think Brandon was thinking? Do you think that Brandon thought that Rhaegar was going to kidnap Lyanna and bring her back to King's Landing?
I guess so.
Obviously, because that's where he goes.
That's where he goes. I'm still looking for this person who told him to calm down.
I remember reading something like that, but I don't remember who it was. And I feel like it might have been somebody talking about how wild and unreasonable he was when his temper got the best of him. As soon as Brandon hears word of his sister's abduction by Prince Rhaegar, him, his squire, Ethan Glover, Kyle Royce, Elbert Arryn, who is the heir to Jon Arryn, and Jeffrey Malister ride to King's Landing. Brandon gets inside King's Landing, and he rides all the way to the Red Keep, and he even enters the Red Keep. And then he starts shouting for Rhaegar to come out and die. Jesus. Brandon is arrested by King Aerys Targaryen and charged with plotting Rhaegar's murder.
Brandon had not told his soon-to-be good father, Hoserup, his plans, and one might suppose he did not inform his own father either. Both men would have understood the misconduct of the Crown Prince, of course. In their minds, he was no better than the outlawed Kingswood Brotherhood, which had kidnapped Lady Jane Swan. Both also knew the value of taking time with careful planning. The North Vale Riverlands Stormlands power block had not been built in a day. Brandon, however, was aggrieved, and as Lady Barbie had noted years before, had never been shy about taking what he wanted or bearing his fangs.
So basically they're saying that his temper made him race off to King's Landing, where Rickard and Hoster would have told him, listen, what Rhaegar did was wrong, but we need to be patient here. We're building something with these marriages, with this fosterings. Rhaegar will pay for what he did. Like, calm down, chill the fuck out, we got this. But Brandon doesn't give them a chance to do that. I would doubt very much that he even discussed it with his father. You probably heard and just went racing off.
For Stark Honor, I'm going.
God damn it. Where did my fucking stupid ass son go? And then this next part gets me. So after Brandon races to King's Landing and he's arrested for, what is the charges? Plotting the Crown Prince's murder. Mm-hmm. Rhaegar calls all of their fathers to court to answer the charges. So I guess all these boys are arrested for the same charges, plotting Rhaegar's murder. Ethan Glover, we know that he lives through this. Maybe because Ethan was the squire, he's not murdered, he's not executed.
Plot device, he needs him there. Be there with Ned.
I'm looking up these guys that Brandon brought with him.
Yeah, so it was all like Northern Lords, or like sons of Northern Lords. It was like a power play, like, oh, going down there with these powerful men. Which actually is something better than what his father does. His father just comes down with 200 men. He doesn't come there, you think, with this alliance.
Right.
But I guess it wasn't sent yet. That's it, as it was mentioned before. Maybe he couldn't trust these alliances yet because none of them were married. Can he trust Hoster Tully? Maybe Hoster Tully looks at this and say, look, my potential son-in-law just went down against the crown, and I don't know about that, Rickard.
All of the guys that went with Brandon and all their fathers were killed, save Ethan Glover. I thought that Ethan Glover maybe was sent back with word for the fathers to come and return, but apparently he spent the majority of the war in the dungeons at King's Landing.
In those black cells at King's Landing, you know, where anything can go.
But what I really don't understand is if Rickard is trying to forge this alliance with the reason being to remove Aerys from the Iron Throne, why would he think that Aerys calling him to King's Landing would result in anything but his death? Why would he not do what Jon Arryn did? Why would he not decline that?
I can think of is maybe he thought that he knew going in there he was going to do a trial by combat.
Even that, I don't think, but let's just say,
right now,
because since when he asked for the trial by combat, he thought he'd be fighting a member of the King's
Right, which I'm going to go on to. Obviously, he wasn't thinking that Aerys was going to use what he did. Probably no one would think that's what Aerys was going to do. You would think Aerys was going to use.
That's the thing, though. If they thought Aerys was so evil, why would he not think that Aerys would do something like that?
I don't know.
Anyway, but
let's look at all the members of the Kingsguard that are there. Not Oswald Wentworth and Arthur Dayne.
They're not there.
But I'm going to assume a guy like Joe Hightower, mm-hmm, being the Lord Commander, would take on the role.
Right.
If not, I think any of the other knights of Aerys' Kingsguard would probably defeat Rickard in a one-on-one fight.
I would think so, too. But thinking like Rickard,
maybe
he thinks he can take a few of them.
Maybe he can get, you know, it's one-on-one. Maybe he gets lucky enough that he's able to defeat one of them.
Well, maybe he's fighting Jaime, who's just a kid. Or maybe he's fighting...
I think Jaime's even probably more skilled than Rickard.
No, he definitely is. But thinking like Rickard... Like, Rickard's got a little bit of a cocky attitude to him. Like, yeah, I beat that young kid.
Maybe Brandon will come in with a steel chair or something.
Right. Or maybe he goes down thinking like, all right, I have an alliance with the Tullys. I have an alliance with the Arryns.
He's going to talk his way out of this.
Right, like, Ares, you don't want to do this because
I... But then it all goes back again. They knew that Ares was crazy. Why would he listen?
You can make a case. You can make reasons for him to do it and make it make sense. But then it doesn't. Because if you think about the whole very reason why they're doing all this, supposedly, we don't know for sure, but supposedly, is because Ares is so fucking crazy that it's harmful for everyone.
The only thing I'm thinking about right now is, but it doesn't avoid it. It turns out it doesn't avoid it anyways. Does he do it because... All right, my freaking dumb son.
Yeah.
You know, my freaking lunatic heir.
Once again, I got to clean up Brandon's fucking mess.
He goes down and you know what? Now the king is calling me. I got to come down because if I don't come down, I don't want a war in the north. I want to save my people in the north. It's my responsibility as war in the north.
Okay.
To protect the north.
Okay.
So let me answer the call. Maybe if I go down there, we can smooth things out with lunatic. I got a lunatic son, and I got a lunatic king, and I'm stuck in the middle.
He must have thought he could smooth it out.
I mean, he went down there with 200 men, but what's 200 men going to do?
Not much.
I guess a full army.
It shows that he has some power, but what happened with those 200 men?
I mean, they're all dead. He led them to early graves.
He probably thought he had a bigger hand, and he played his hand too early. He did have a hand because he had this.
Well, he did have a hand, but as I was just reading it before there, he needed patience. His plan needed patience to get all these marriages in the fold to have that power. He didn't have the power because none of the marriages were taking it.
Right. So that answers the question of why didn't Hasta Tully go ride down with him? Why didn't, you know?
Could Rickard trust Hasta Tully? Could Hasta Tully be like,
we didn't get married yet, bro?
Ares, we had no part of this. We listen, he went off on his own. Leave us alone. Catelyn will marry someone else.
So the fact that Rickard goes down by himself and not with any other of the High Lords from this alliance, well, that just says that this alliance wasn't fully developed. It wasn't matured yet. So maybe Hasta Tully...
It's all thanks to Brandon. Maybe you can even say it's thanks to Lyanna and Rhaegar, but...
That goes back then to the 20th Harrenhal. If Rhaegar planned that, why would he ruin that whole thing for a 16-year-old girl? Because he's in love with her? Okay, but what's the point B here? And how do you get there from point A?
I don't think anyone, maybe including Rickard, even Rhaegar himself, Lyanna herself, and any of the people involved or knew about this, would think that Ares would do what he did.
I can't buy that because the whole reason for wanting to remove him from the Iron Throne is because he's a fucking nut job. And look what he did to a few examples we talked about today. His son Jaehaerys that died before turning a year old. He beheads the wet nurse.
But they're
not nobility, sure, but you know, he's a crazy person.
I mean, a lot of people say, well, Lyanna, she deserved it. How could she know that, like...
Well, she couldn't. She couldn't possibly.
She couldn't know that. She didn't mean for her father or brother to get died because of her.
Mm-hmm. And like you said, probably was sending ravens.
And that all goes back that the Maester was ripping up those.
Yeah.
Because this was great. This is going to be turmoil. Yeah. Targaryen turmoil. This is starting, pal. Yeah.
The Rickard part doesn't exactly sit well with me. And then after... Okay. All right. It does make sense from there because Hasta Tully's all in once his daughters are married. But until they're married... He's not going to go and stand with Rickard on the promise. What happens if it all goes wrong? Then his family's
gone. He's done too.
Right? So he can't. But once his daughters are married, he's part of this rebellion and he's all in.
Right. And he's all in after the fact because then he's joining up with Robert and Ned because now it's like this king is now just made, you know, a threat. He's declared war. He's killed these northern lords. Now I can't stand. Now I have a reason to and be protected.
And I'm not in it by myself. It's not like it's just Hasta Tully versus the realm. It's Hasta Tully. It's the Riverlands and the Vale and the Stormlands too. So it does work. That's three of the major kingdoms in Westeros. Well, the Stormlands weren't considered one of the kingdoms, but they're a powerful area in the south. Plus, you don't know what the West is doing. Tywin's just sitting tight. So really, it's just the Crownlands.
Tywin's just out there laying in the weeds.
Yeah, it's just the Crownlands and Dorne and the Reach. If you think about that, if you think about the Riverlands and the Vale and the North and the Stormlands against the Crownlands and the Reach and Dorne, that favors the rebels. Maybe not in finances, but in people. And
I don't know. I think the Loyalists still have more people.
They may, but if you think about Dorne and where it's located, that accounts for some of it, and they're so far away, and they're only with Targaryens because of a marriage to Rhaegar. And if Rhaegar abducted Lyanna, that's kind of a slight to Ilya, and I've talked about this before. I think you agree with me. It is somewhat of a slight to Ilya, no matter how you phrase it. If it's he's taking on a second wife, if he gets a divorce, even more so, it is a slight to Ilya.
Well, that's why the Ares kept them.
Right.
He needed them there to keep that alliance. If he lets Ilya and the babes go,
right,
he has a possibility. Well, now, maybe not so much the Martells fighting with Robert's Rebellion, mm-hmm, but fighting against the Targaryens.
Right.
Might not be so much that they're fighting with, right, might, you know, might be like a three-way battle.
But then that just leaves the Reach and the Crownlands. And the Crownlands, King's Landing makes up the large majority of the population in the Crownlands. Crownlands being Rosby, Duskendale, Stony Sept, Tumbledon.
We're not going to go into the full details, I don't think.
I don't want to really go into Robert's Rebellion. I want to be able to kind of set up the side.
I do want to share a link. Someone did an amazing job on all the battles and the timeline of Robert's Rebellion.
Starting from Brandon and
I'm not sure when, but he goes through all the battles, like the Battle of the Bells, and like how they thought that, you know, Arius thought this would be a simple war.
Right.
And then next thing you know, I was like, oh shit, this is serious.
Yes. Well, because
he does a real good job. I'll get out the...
While you look for that, I'm going to muse a little bit more, because looking at this one specific event, Rhaegar taking Lyanna captive, the effect it has throughout the realm. Obviously, we first have to look at Brandon, and then we have to look at Rickard. We have to look at Ares. From there, it spreads out more. Brandon finds out that Lyanna is taken captive, and he gets super angry. He was already angry at Rhaegar for crowning her queen of love and beauty. And he's like, this Targaryen, who he must already have bad feelings for because of the alliance that his father is forming. And I can't think that anybody really likes Targaryens. They did win Westeros by conquest.
You can go on YouTube. It's called Game of Thrones, Robert's Rebellion, and Battles of the Trident 283 AC. It's by a guy called Baz Battles. I think he does a great job in illustrating...
What's it called? Robert's Rebellion and...
And Battle of the Trident 283 AC. Baz Battles, for everyone who want to go. I think it does a good, very good job illustrating. It's very clear illustrating of how things were, how the war really transpired, and does a really good job of narrating it.
I'll put a link up when we post this episode, and we should probably watch that when we get into the rebellion itself. How does the realm view Targaryens? It's been hundreds of years since Aegon's conquest, but
now
the Targaryens consider themselves above everyone else. And people must take note of that.
What's really maybe bad about it right now is now there's just this one Targaryen family. There's no other, cousins. This is the only one they got. They're all kooky.
There's too many of them, it's a problem. If there's too few of them, it's a problem.
Right.
There has to be a certain number of Targaryens. So there's got to be some pre-existing, not racism, because if anything, Targaryens are racist against...
Everyone else.
Right, because they are the blood of old Valyria. But there's got to be some, in every High Lord, some feeling of anger or hate towards Targaryens, jealousy, whatever you want to call it. So Brandon is already mad at Rhaegar for crowning Lyanna the Queen of Love and Beauty. When he hears that Rhaegar abducted Lyanna...
Oh, it's on now, it's on, this is it.
He's going to lose his mind, because he already kind of figured something like this would happen.
I told you, Ned, you sat there quietly. Right.
He's probably yelling that out loud, and nobody's... What the fuck are you talking about, Brad? Ned's not even here. I fucking told you guys.
I told my dumb brother about this.
Ethan, Kyle, we're out of here. Let's go. We're riding for King's Landing.
Should I get Ned? No, there's no time for him.
We don't need him. We don't need him. What do you mean? Should we tell your dad?
No. Don't need him either.
We don't need anybody. I'm Brandon
Stark. This is Stark power. We're going to show how it's really done. All key Stark's name, Brandon. I'm Brandon. So what are you going to do when you get there? I don't know. I'll think about it when I get down there.
Yeah, we'll figure it out as we go. Play it by ear. Okay.
They go out to the steps of the keep. I got an idea. Hold on. Get your swords out.
We're doing this. What do you mean we're doing this?
Follow my lead. Come on, Rhaegar. Come out and die, Rhaegar.
That's your plan?
Brandon, he's not here. Bullshit, he's not here.
You're hiding him inside. I want my sister. And Ares is like, what the fuck is that guy doing out there? The guards are probably like, what is this fucking asshole doing? Should somebody tell the king? All right, let's go tell the king.
There's six of them, too. There's like six.
There's five of them. Yeah, it's five of them.
Yeah, see, I don't even need my king's garment to go out there. This is just get your 30 arm men.
So that's a few men at arms.
Don't worry, my father will be back. Now, he's going to bring up more men than I do.
Well, do you think once Rickard knows he went riding off, he has to know that he's riding King's Landing.
Right.
He knows his son.
But he doesn't run up. He waits.
I guess he waits to see what will happen. And maybe, who knows, maybe Brandon could pull this off. If we don't even need to form this alliance, maybe Brandon will bring down
the Targaryens. Somebody killed the king.
Yeah.
Dad, they named me king.
Starks, baby. We talked about what Rickard Stark was thinking or possibly not thinking. What is Aerys thinking of all this? He's thinking, here's this son of Rickard Stark, fucking asshole, calling for Rhaegar to come out and die. That's a slight against House Targaryen. He's probably got Varys there whispering what will happen if he lets this go. So he doesn't let it go. And then he calls the fathers to answer for the son's crimes because he doesn't want anybody thinking that they can call for any Targaryen. Even if he doesn't trust Rhaegar at this point, even if his relationship with Rhaegar is damaged, it's attack on the house. So he can't let that slide. But there's no face for this yet. Right now, it's just maybe he doesn't know.
Slobbering mess.
Does he know that Rhaegar even is with Lyanna? He probably doesn't even know where Rhaegar necessarily is.
But when Rickard goes down to King's Landing, there is no mention from Rickard. How do I know my daughter is safe? Where is my daughter?
You would think that there has to be. But for Aerys, it doesn't fucking matter.
He doesn't know either.
Yeah,
he doesn't really know. He doesn't really know because he sends Joe Hightower out to go find him. Wasn't like he sends Joe Hightower, go to the Red Mountains and Dorne. That's where Rhaegar goes when he's moody.
So he sends his Lord Commander out to find out
where Rhaegar is.
And this in response, maybe, to Rickard saying, your son kidnapped my daughter?
No, this is in response to
Jon Arryn not delivering.
Right.
Okay, so this is a little bit further.
And basically, Aerys is saying, you got to find my son. He started this mess, so he's at the lead of our army.
Right. So let's try and get there step by step. Rickard Stark rides down to King's Landing with 200 men. They get overtaken. He tries to play his hand. Theoretically, we don't know for sure. We don't know what these conversations are like, but we have to put ourselves in Rickard's head. He's thinking he has the backing of Hossa Tully, of Jon Arryn, of the Baratheons. But if you think about it, the Baratheons, the Lord of the House Baratheon, is Robert, who's still a young man, end up at the Vale, mind you. Jon Arryn's an old man with no heir. Hossa Tully has two daughters and a dumbass son, and he's going to protect his family. So maybe Rickard didn't think about all that. He just thought they would rise up with him. But like we said, it wasn't ready. The alliance wasn't ready. Mm-hmm. None of these houses were ready to stand up to the throne. The only thing
that makes it ready is Aerys doing the executions.
Right.
And then wanting the heads of Robert and Eddard.
And it's Robert and Ned and Jon Arryn who become the faces of this rebellion, which started with the Tully-Stark alliance. And once Ned slides in for Brandon, and once Jon Arryn says he'll marry Lysa, then it's a real alliance. Because once you have the Tullys involved, and their proximity to the Crownlands and to King's Landing makes all of this a lot easier. But that's not what's going on when Rickard comes to King's Landing. So maybe he plays his hand and says, I have an alliance. I'm not the only lord that's going to rise up against you.
Maybe he's just hoping, listen, he's not going to kill me. He's going to put me in prison with my son.
He would never kill me. I'm the Warden of the North. He's not going to kill me.
We go way back. We want to make a new wall together. He's not, come on, we're good.
Maybe you're right. They do think he's crazy, but not crazy enough to burn the warden, his Warden of the North.
Does Rickard, the one that brings up, he'll take a trial by combat? Maybe at that point he realized that he's going to die anyways, maybe.
Yeah. He didn't go down planning for a trial by combat. There's no way. He probably went down thinking he could talk, like
right.
You said.
Come on, Gerald. Let's get that this right there. Yeah. Don't worry, Gerald. We got fire. Don't worry.
Perspective is reality. The way you see things is what your reality is. So the way Rickard sees things, he's the Warden of the North. He rules the North in Aerys' name. His heir, the next Warden in the North, was taken captive because he came down calling for Rhaegar's head. So he's thinking, if he can explain why Brandon did that, he can smooth the whole thing over. There's no way Aerys is going to kill him. And he's not going to kill his heir because that would be a slight to his Warden of the North. So they're going to be safe. He just has to answer up. And worst case scenario, he does have his trump card of, I'm forming this alliance. You kill me, more will rise in my place, or some bullshit like that. I would think that's most likely the scenario. And he probably starts by saying, listen, my son's an idiot. He's a hothead. He only came down here because we got word that your son Rhaegar, the prince, abducted my daughter Lyanna. Can you explain that? And Aerys probably doesn't explain it, doesn't give a shit, because for him, it's all about
Targaryens can do what they want.
Right. Targaryens can do as he pleases. And it's also the only reason he's interested in this at all is because Brandon came to King's Landing. Aerys is probably
thinking like, wow, he kidnapped. That's what I should have done with Joanna. Yeah. My son's again better than me.
But it's not about that for him. Brandon came down, disrespected House Targaryen, called for Rhaegar to come out and die. He's got to die. Rickard's got to die. He did trust Varys at this point in time. So I'm sure Varys whispered into his ear that if you let this slide, other lords will think it's okay. How did it work out with the trial by combat? He sentenced Rickard and Brandon to death, and Rickard demanded a trial by combat. Aerys says, fine. Fire is the champion of House Targaryen. So they put him into armor, and then they start roasting him. they tie up Brandon to the cord just out of reach of a sword, just out of reach of his father. And
a Taoshi strangling device. Yeah,
it's funny because it's like he almost knows that Brandon's so fucking stupid that he's going to literally strangle himself to death out of rage trying to get to the sword, thinking he could get to the sword, but the whole thing's set up for him not to get to the sword. Brandon's a fucking idiot, dude. Probably the dumbest Stark that I've ever read about. As soon as he heard about Lyanna, out of control until the moment he strangled himself to death trying to get to his father. And his father's like, you're such a fucking... Like, we had this. We were so close. We were so close we had this.
All he had to do was marry this damn broad. Yeah,
like, just wait a couple days, do the wedding, and then we'll figure out how to get Lyanna back. But you had to go racing off with fucking four other dudes, thinking that you could... What were you going to do? Were you going to, like, fight Rhaegar on the Red Keep and everything would be okay? No thought whatsoever. But why is this not enough for Aerys, for Rickard, and for Brandon to die?
Well, Aerys is just thinking, logistically speaking now, I just killed the Warden of the North and his heir. His second son is going to come after me.
Well, probably then he starts thinking about Rhaegar and Lyanna. While before he was enraged because of the slight against House Targaryen by Brandon and then his father's responsibility for Brandon, then he starts thinking, so they said Rhaegar abducted Lyanna. The other brother's going to come looking for Lyanna. And Lyanna, I know, is betrothed to Robert Baratheon, Rhaegar's cousin. So he's going to start to ask about Lyanna. In some way, he must be supporting Rhaegar and Lyanna because he's demanding the heads of Eddard and Robert. And what would his plan be then for the North? If he killed Rickard, he killed Brandon. He's asking for Ned's head. After that, does he want Benjen's head then? Like, what is the end result? Is the end result... Benjen, he wants Benjen to be the Warden of the North, or does he want to put a new house?
I don't know. I guess with Robert is, he just knows that his son has Lyanna.
He knows Robert's temper, I would think, right?
You would have to think he knows that.
But the thing with Robert is Arya's relationship with Stefan. And maybe I'll repost that episode, but the one where we talked about Tywin, Stefan Baratheon, and Arya's Targaryen, and the friendship they had as youths. Stefan actually did an audition for Hand of the King. Stefan went to Essos to find a wife for Rhaegar, and he said, if I'm successful, I'll be Hand to the King. He wasn't successful, and he died on the way back, so he was never Hand to the King. That was still a good relationship. So it's odd to me, even taking the fact that Lyanna was betrothed to Robert, it's odd that Aerys would ask for the head of his friend's son, right? Or maybe not, because by that point in time, Aerys is just so far gone.
Yeah.
But then where does it stop with the Baratheons? If he's not stopping with Brandon and Rickard and he's asking
does he go for Stannis? Does he go after
Right, does he go after Stannis and Renly?
That's a good question. But
maybe he wasn't thinking that far down the road, but if he connected Rickard and Brandon and Rhaegar abducting Lyanna and he was able to think far enough to connect that to Ned and Robert, surely he must be thinking past that.
I don't know, that's tough to call. Because I can almost see him saying, okay, we'll stop at Stannis.
Right.
And we'll speak to Stannis.
The gay one. We'll put the gay one in charge. The gay one and then the Benjen. You know, we'll put Benjen in charge up north and everything will be fine. It's probably Varys that connected Eddard and Robert to all this. And he said, if Brandon got this mad, Robert would probably get this mad. And Ned will want vengeance for his father and his brother. He'll have to. He has to. For the honor of House Stark. He can't let that slide. Probably Varys connected that for Aerys. I can't believe that Aerys was that forward-thinking at this point in time. He was paranoid, and I'm sure he saw attackers in the shadows of his bedroom, but he wasn't forward-thinking realistically. Maybe he could see one day Rhaegar trying to kill him to take the Iron Throne. Maybe he could connect something to that, or something else that may seem ridiculous. But realistically, he's not thinking that far ahead. First, he writes to Jon Arryn.
And once they raise up in rebellion, I think the war starts. There's already battles breaking out. And then he gets word out to Jael Hightower to get Rhaegar that they're going to have to fight this big battle at the Trident.
That's way late. Because that is when Rhaegar finally marches. From Rickard and Brandon dying, we don't know for sure, but we'll say that Varys connects Eddard and Robert to this whole mess. And they have to be addressed. Aerys, I guess he sends a raven. He must send a raven to Jon Arryn.
Yeah.
Asking for the heads of Eddard Stark and Robert Baratheon.
I think he sends a raven for them to come down with Robert and Eddard's heads, and he doesn't. They raise the banners. Arryn, Baratheon, Stark, Tully.
Rickard Stark went to King's Landing with 200 men. None of them returned north. In King's Landing, all of those who stood accused were executed with the sole exception of Ethan Glover. King Aerys did allow for trials of a sort. Lord Rickard Stark demanded the trial by battle, and the king granted his request.
Rickard dressed for battle, but Aerys declared Fire to be the champion of House Targaryen. That's fucking funny. Well, it's not funny, but right. Like they didn't put Rickard in the armor. They said, all right, we'll get ready for your battle. And he put on armor, got ready to go fight. And he comes out and he just gets hung up. Oh, horrible. He had Rickard suspended from the rafters in the throne room where his pyromancers kindled a blaze beneath the Lord of Winterfell. Brandon Stark was brought in as well and placed at a Tyroshi strangling device while a longsword was placed just outside his reach. Brandon was allowed to try and free his father, but the more he struggled to reach the sword, the tighter the cord around his neck became. Brandon strangled himself in an attempt to reach the sword and save his father, while Lord Rickard cooked in his armor. Next, Aerys demanded Lord Jon Arryn to send him the heads of Lord Robert Baratheon of Storm's End, Lyanna's betrothed, and Eddard Stark, now the Lord of Winterfell after the deaths of his father and older brother. Robert and Eddard were in the Eyrie. However, Jon Arryn refused to oblige. Instead, he raised his banners in revolt. This is seen as the start of the war, this act. The war would last close to a year. It would start in the Eyrie, start in Gulltown. We'll save that for the next episode. What I want to talk about before we finish up is Jon Arryn. If you're Jon Arryn, you get word asking for Ned and Robert's head. You're an old man. Your heir has just been killed. Elbert Arryn was his heir, mm-hmm. who was killed at King's Landing. Is it a no-brainer to raise your banners? He doesn't have as much, or does he, as much confidence as Rickard Stark had, because Rickard Stark had an alliance with Jon Arryn through fostering, an alliance with the Tullys almost through marriage, an alliance with the Baratheons through marriage.
Jon Arryn has nothing.
Well, he doesn't have the Starks anymore, but he does. He's in a better position than Rickard Stark was because of the deaths of Rickard Stark and Brandon Stark, because now he has the Lord of Storm's End, who's going to be loyal to him, and the Lord of Winterfell is going to be loyal to them because Aerys is asking for their heads. Immediately, that's three of the seven noble houses of Westeros that are going to be involved in this.
Then Ned does her humble thing. Listen, I'll marry your daughter, and yeah. you'll still get, right. you'll still have.
I guess we could consider that part of Robert's Rebellion because the war breaks out after Lord Arryn raises his banners. But speaking to Ned, marrying Catelyn, that's probably Jon Arryn's idea, right? Or do you think that's Ned's idea? You think Ned has the foresight? Because Ned has a lot to think about.
John probably has to tell him, listen, we need, for this to work, mm-hmm. we're going to need the Tullys.
What do you think it was like when Jon Arryn got, I guess it was a raven that Aerys sent. And this is Aerys' first mistake. Although I understand why he did it, testing Jon's loyalty. Because if Jon sends him those heads, everything is all good. It's all gravy for Aerys. He knows Jon Arryn's loyal. And he knows that there's no alliance against him. And then he doesn't have to worry about the Starks or the Baratheons. But he must have assumed that Jon Arryn would do that. Because if Jon Arryn doesn't do this, that's the Lord of Winterfell, the Lord of Storm's End, two of the seven great houses, that's three of them that will be in defiance of me. And that's a problem. That's a war. He must have assumed that Jon Arryn was old and weak and would give them up rather mm-hmm. than face the wrath of House Targaryen. And Jon Arryn's thinking like, maybe if Jon Arryn did have an heir, maybe if he did have a family, maybe he would have done that.
He has really nothing to live for.
At this point, he doesn't.
But it has to be Jon Arryn that brings that then with Ned, because he also thinks, okay, well, I'll take Lysa, and Ned, you have to take your brother's shoes, because we got to get House of Tully. If we don't get the Riverlands, we're not going to win this war. Because they would be shielded off like this.
Yeah.
They needed that opening.
The Riverlands is the key to all this. And like I said, it's because of their proximity to King's Landing. If they don't have the Riverlands, talk about getting north through the neck. How about getting south through the neck if you're at war, if you're marching south? With control of the Riverlands or with the alliance with the Riverlands, then you do have some connection to Storm's End. Whereas no Riverlands, it doesn't matter if House Baratheon is with you. How are you getting over there? And it must be two-sided thinking for Jon Arryn in his marriage alliance with Lysa Tully. He's thinking about a rebellion against the throne and the key that the Tullys have in that being successful. But he's also thinking, if I'm rising up against the throne, if I do die, what happens to my house? Is my house extinguished then? So it's important for him to not just get a wife, but to get the wife pregnant with a child. The most important thing, ultimately, is for your house to go right. on. He doesn't get her pregnant, obviously, not till many years later. Well, many, but a few years later, after the rebellion's over. I'm sure that was part of his thinking also. There had to be some selfish thinking on Jon Arryn's part. I don't think he's the type of guy that would send Aerys, Robert, and Ned's head. But I think if situations were different for him, he might consider it. Instead of sending their heads, maybe he just sends them to Aerys.
Go.
It's okay. Aerys just wants to
talk. He's not going to do the same thing. He's not going to do, you know, don't worry about it.
Yeah. It's a ceremony to name your new ward of the North. Don't worry.
As they leave, which one is he going to hang out? Which one is he going to freaking strangle?
Right.
Ned or Robert?
Hang Ned, strangle Robert. I think another part of it is the idea of fostering a child. The relationship of a foster father, foster mother to the children they're fostering. It is on par with a marriage alliance. It's not a marriage, but you think about how fondly Robert and Eddard remember Jon Arryn. It isn't all because of what he did in the rebellion and not turning them over. It's also because he was their foster father and he helped raise them. It's as good as a marriage alliance. And Jon Arryn, much like Stannis later on, when Stannis says he had to choose between his family and his king and how difficult of a decision that was, Jon Arryn had to choose between the oath he made to protect these foster kids and his king. And he chose the oath. It's obviously the right choice. I don't know if that's a choice that all the High Lords would make, though.
Yeah.
Stannis makes the right choice, too, later on when he chooses his brother over his king.
It's so funny he has to even think about that, though, too.
Yeah.
Honor my brother.
Yeah. I don't know what to... Renly, I don't know what to do. What do you mean you don't know what to do?
Damn it. I'll fight with Robert. We've talked about those Baratheon brothers. Oh, strange.
Very strange relationships.
You mean he hasn't even think of it?
Do you think it was a no-brainer for Jon Arryn, or do you think he had to consider it also? I'm sure he thought it out and thought more like, all right, how can I survive this? How can I make sure that I protect Ned and Robert and House Arryn isn't extinguished? I'm sure that's what he was thinking about, but I think it's fairly quickly that he says, fuck no, and he calls for his banners. Immediately knowing that it means war, it means trouble, mm-hmm. So he calls his banners for House Arryn. Then for Jon Arryn, calling his own banners then is testing his own people. Are they going to be loyal to me or are they going to be loyal to the throne? It's not just the rebels versus the throne. It's which side are these minor houses going to take? Are they going to follow their liege lords? Or are they going to follow their king? Are they going to stay true to the throne or are they going to be labeled as rebels? We see the same thing play out in the War of the Five Kings. We see the same thing play out in season 7 of Game of Thrones. You side with Daenerys Targaryen, you're a rebel. You side with Robb Stark, you're a rebel. You side with Renly Baratheon, you're a rebel. You side with Stannis, you're a rebel. Anybody that's not sitting on the Iron Throne technically can be called a rebel by the Iron Throne. And yeah, while you're at war, not that big a deal. But an event like the Red Wedding, an event like Cersei burning down Baelor Sept with wildfire, all of a sudden, if you're a rebel as in the eyes of the Iron Throne, and something like that happens where the war is pretty much lost for you in one stroke, you fought. So just sitting on the Iron Throne, it's a power of itself. But in the long term, it's harder to get somebody off the Iron Throne than put somebody on the Iron Throne.
No matter how bad, like Joffrey and Cersei have treated the people of King's Landing, they still cheer them.
They're still there. Dance with Dragons, season 7, the Lannisters still are on the Iron Throne. No matter all the mistakes they've made, all the horrible things they've done, all the people that hate them, all the enemies they have, they're still on the Iron Throne. There's really only been one real challenge to them holding King's Landing, which was season 2, which was Clash of Kings, when Stannis almost got over the walls. But he didn't even get over the walls. He didn't even get into the city.
They were just in that ledge for like 20 minutes.
Oh, man. He was killing just going back
for that same ledge.
Yeah. Like, shit, we forgot that ledge. Send more guys to the ledge. Status is killed everybody.
Did you try to maybe open the door maybe and see maybe be get in? It's like pretty much Donkey Kong. He was just going back.
He's like, I'll go up first. You think that's a good idea, Stannis?
With no helmet on.
If you die.
No helmet on.
All right, here's the plan. Stannis is going up first. If he dies, we're out of here.
They're like throwing rocks down. He's got no headgear on. He's just, it doesn't get hit.
I really don't like that about Game of Thrones. They put the king or the commander right in the heart of battle. And Robb Stark, that's fine because that's how he led his men. And he was a young kid. He thought he could, but.
But either that's still at least like they always forget to add clothing items.
Yeah, like helmet. The gloves. Yeah, helmet. The face mask, armor. Door. Yeah,
the gloves. If he's up there with a helmet on or something with like a nice like
a shield,
helmet.
Maybe a shield.
With a nice little like.
I don't think he had a shield.
No,
a shield.
Nothing. And he had like a nice, like, protective headgear, you know, Baratheon style, like, forks, some coming out.
Like the antler down
right,
there.
Right, right. Some metal antlers
then
or something.
Then you can buy it.
This is sick. He's going out there with his antlers. He's got some protection on. Yeah, yeah. One rock knocks one of the antlers off, but he still has the helmet on. He's got a, out there with a freaking sword, no helmet on or anything.
He just rolled out of bed. He's like, all right, I'm going to climb up the ladder and King's Landing. That ledge. That ledge is where I'll make my stand.
It's like 20 minutes. He's just going back and forth on it. Doesn't move.
The battle's raging below him. He's just like, unlimited amount of Lannister guys come out of the fucking door. Like, he's just hacking them. They killed like 200 guys up there. And then they drag him away once Tywin shows up. the logistics of these battles, whatever. It doesn't matter. Let's end it there for today. When we return next episode, we'll start with Robert's Rebellion. Thanks for listening. Find us on Facebook, facebook.com/thepromisedprinces. Tweet at us on Twitter @princespromised. Find us on WordPress. Find our essays and writings, theprincesthatwerepromised.wordpress.com. And visit our website, thepromisedprinces.actionpackpodcast.com. Remember to subscribe. Remember to leave a review. Tell a friend, tell a family member, tell a coworker. Thank you for listening, and we'll speak with you guys next week.
Action Patch.